The 91st Psalm reads in this way. And today, as we begin this latest installment of That Reminds Me of a Psalm, my prayer for you, even as we hear these words from Psalm 91, is that they would speak to you and minister to you even before I begin to expand and extrapolate from their richness. The psalmist records it this way: He that dwells in the secret place, in the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift up you in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, I personally love this psalm. You know, if you're new with us today, or maybe your first time to join in this series, throughout these summer months, we are in this collection of sermons called That Reminds Me of a Psalm, and we are leaning into a variety of the literally 150 that we have to choose from psalms. Psalms found in the Old Testament that are meant to teach us the heart of God, the instruction of God, the will of God, the ways of God, but in a way that is portable, as these psalms were ancient poems and songs written down by a variety of artists to help us carry God's law wherever we may go. And this 91st Psalm is one that I personally have gone to over and over and over again in my life. It's one that I've leaned on in difficult seasons and leaned on in times when I knew that there were big decisions in front of me. It's one I find myself going back to over and over and over again because there's so much instruction found in this psalm. I hope you didn't miss it in the speed in which I read it, and if you did, that's okay. I'm about to break it down for you here in a second. But there's so much instruction given to us in this psalm and how to live and, most importantly, how to trust God. But it's also one of those psalms that you can pray. You say, pray? Oh, yeah. Sometimes people will come to me and say, well, I don't really know how to pray. I don't really know what to say when I pray. Can I tell you, one of the greatest habits, one of the greatest things you could ever learn when it comes to praying is learn to pray the scripture. And a beautiful scripture to begin to pray is begin to pray Psalm 91 and say, God, I am one who wants to dwell in the secret place. I want to live up under the shadow of the Almighty. God, help me to say of you that you're my refuge and my fortress. Help me, my testimony to be, you're the God in whom I trust. This isn't just a psalm of instruction or a psalm of prayer. It's really one of both. Now, this psalm has no specific title given to it. Some of the psalms are titled even by the author. Some of them have been titled. There is no specific title given to this 91st psalm, but yet it carries this clear theme that is really going to help bring us focus on today, wherever you are and however you may be. It's the blessings of proximity. The 91st Psalm really opens our eyes, it opens our heart to the blessing of proximity. My first full-time role in churches when I graduated from seminary and began serving at a church that in a full-time capacity that I had been serving at in a variety of part-time capacities for years as I was in the seminary, is I was a youth pastor. I worked with middle and high school students and created services and experiences and events, helped to lead them to know and love Jesus and to become complete in Christ is the way we would say it. And it was wonderful. And one of the things that I would often say in that season of my life as I'm working with 12 and 14 and 17-year-olds, you know, week in and week out, day in and day out, is that if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Meaning that you become like those that you run with. Can I tell you that's not just true for middle and high school students? That's true for adults. That's true for grandparents. That's true for people who are professionals. That is true for people working part-time jobs. That's true for single folk. That's true for married folk. If you show me your friends, I will show you your future. To take it further, though, in relation and correlation to this 91st Psalm, you are blessed and strengthened, or you are beat down and destroyed because of who you're close to. If you show me your friends, I'll show you your future is another way of saying whoever it is that you're close to, you're becoming like. But to really zoom out on that thought is again to say that you will be blessed, you will be built up, you will be encouraged and strengthened because of who or what it is you're close to. And friend, you will be torn down, you will be destroyed. You will have weight and oppression sit squarely on your shoulders because of who and what it is you're close to. Can I tell you, even in this summer season, as we are out here loving summer, I mean, we right smack dab in the middle of I Love Summer, loving summer through a variety of ways and a variety of meanings, but here's what is true. The greatest change you could make this summer is to stop being close to things in your life that pull you down and pull you away from God and get close to the one who says, when you dwell near me, I'm gonna protect you and I'm gonna look out for you, and the rest that your soul is looking for, you will not find anywhere in this life but in me. See, if you're taking notes today, I would love for you to write this down. Get them from our website or just put this down on some paper, type it in your phone. But there is a place in God that you can know, but you don't know, because you won't trust him like you could trust him. There is a place in God that you can know. It is possible for you to know the place that the psalmist speaks of, this secret place, up under the shelter of the Most High. But he calls it secret because, quite honestly, not every follower of God knows it. Not every person who says, I love the Lord, I'm doing my best to follow him, not everyone knows it. He calls it a secret place. There's a place in God that you can know, but you don't know. And the reason you don't know is because you won't trust him like you could trust him. You see, not everybody knows the same God in the same way. Maybe you've experienced that in your faith journey. Maybe you're new to faith. Maybe you've been following Jesus for a while. And what you will find very quickly is some people know God in a way that you don't know God. And it's not because they know a different God, and it's not because they're special or have some unique access. Quite honestly, friend, it's because they learn to trust him. And they don't just learn it, they do it. And when they begin to trust God, maybe like you won't trust God, they find protection and shelter and strength that you wish you had, but you don't have, because you won't come close. The 91st Psalm really is an invitation to you. It's an appeal, it's an ad campaign saying, come closer to me. The psalmist is saying, hey, listen, I am testimony of this. Come closer to God. And then God himself speaks through the psalmist and says, come close to me. I can bless you, and I can protect you, and I can care for you, and I can watch out for you, and I have good for you. But you gotta come close to me. Friend, that's my charge today, not just the title of the sermon. Come closer. If you're joining us at church online with somebody in the chat right now, maybe even multiple people right now, would you type this? Type, come closer. Come closer. That's the invitation of God to you today. Come closer. Maybe you've been following him for a minute, but you've been comfortable in the outer courts. It's time to move into the inner sanctuary. Come closer. Maybe you've been observing from the outside, but there's something in your heart that feels unfulfilled. The 91st Psalm is yelling at you, come closer. Because there is blessing and promise when you come closer. There is truth that can be true of you that may not be true of you right now if you would come closer. You see, if you're taking notes today, would you write this down for us today? That if you'll come closer, I want you to know blessing is possible. Blessing is possible. If you would come closer to God, blessing is possible for you. See, blessing from God always comes from closeness to God. It really is about proximity, getting close to him and close to his heart. The imagery that the psalmist uses in the 91st Psalm at the beginning there is this finding shelter in his shadow. Now, I don't care how big you are, and we serve a big God, but at some point the shadow ends. But if you'll get close enough, what you'll find is you'll find the shade you need, the reprieve from the heat of this life. You will find the covering you need in the storm that you are going through. Up under his wings, there is protection there. There is blessing there. It is possible, but you've got to get close. See, God protects those close to him. And that's why the psalmist knew and began to live and began to testify, I have found rest for my soul because I got close to him. You see, the closer you are to God, the closer you are to his rest. I think if there's anything unanimously in this life right now, the world that we live in, the stress and the pull and the tension that so many of us feel, whether you're a person of faith or not, the truth is we all want rest. We're looking feverishly for rest. But most of us, if we're honest, don't have rest. We don't live in this place of rest, this place of contentment, this place of knowing and believing and seeing and feeling that we are covered. We don't know rest. We don't know the blessing that rest is. And maybe the reason you have no rest is because you're not close enough to receive his rest. There is rest when you know that you're covered by God. But if you're just aware cognitively that he exists, but not close enough to find the reprieve available up underneath the shadow of his wings, you will find yourself with a knowledge of God, but never receiving from God what it is he promised for you. There was a song back in the day, back in my day, back in, I think it was like 1998, 1999, by the great Fred Hammond. Some of y'all don't know about Fred Hammond. Fred Hammond is one of the greatest songwriters of the previous generation, possibly the greatest bass player to ever grace this planet, Fred Hammond. And Fred Hammond wrote a song. And there weren't a lot of words to this song. But the song just said, just to be close to you. And then it would just repeat that refrain over and over again, just to be close to you. It would echo this out over and over and over again, just to be close to you. And then the only other phrase in this song, the only other words attached to that idea would be this. He would sing, is my desire just to be close to you. God, that's the desire of our heart. That's clearly the plea and the call of the psalmist in the 91st chapter of the book of Psalms, just to be close to you. Just to be close to you is my desire. My question is to you today, watching at church online, listening to this podcast, wherever you are, wherever you may be, is that your desire? Because if it is, you will know rest. You will, like the scriptures tell us, find rest for your soul. But if that's not your desire to be close to him, if your desire is for the symptom that is rest, but not the one who brings the rest, you will spend your life pursuing rest, and you'll try to find it in a vacation. You'll try to find it in detaching yourself and moving around and getting with these people and getting in this environment, always looking for rest and never find it, because the rest isn't found by pursuing rest. It's found when you get close to the one who can cover you. It's a secret place, the psalmist says. But it's a secret place you only find in proximity to God. I don't know if you know this about some restaurants in our country, but there are some restaurants that have what they commonly refer to as secret menus. You know this, right? Like, there are some regional chains, national chains, and I ain't just talking about stuff you make up at McDonald's because you order two or three items and slap them together. No, I'm talking about an actual secret menu. Like, it's not published, it's not out there, but if you walked up to the counter, if you rolled to the drive-thru and you ordered this, the people that work there would know what you're talking about, and they would make you something that you couldn't see but was available to anybody. Several years ago, one of the places that started making their rounds with this secret menu was a burger spot that started out on the West Coast. They sort of started infiltrating themselves through the Southwest. They got a lot of them in Texas now. And they're kind of spreading out now. But at the time I interacted with them, they were literally only in California. It was a place called In-N-Out Burger. Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe you've been. But I remember I had to go to California for some work we were doing with some churches and stuff like that, and get out there. And I had this desire to have In-N-Out Burger. I'd never had it at this particular time in my life. And me and the person I was with, as soon as we landed, we got ourselves in a car, and we were hungry, and it was like, let's go to In-N-Out Burger. So we rolled up to In-N-Out Burger, and we had heard through the grapevine, heard through the internet, heard through the somethings, that there was a secret menu. But when you roll up to the drive-thru and there is no listing, there is no label, there is no sign of this secret menu, you get a little nervous. Like, what if I speak into this microphone and try to ask them for something off the secret menu, and the secret menu has been nothing but a facade, nothing but a sham? A promise that they pontificate about on the internet, but it doesn't really exist. It's only to make a fool of those who would roll up to the drive-thru and try to order something. And so we roll up to the drive-thru, and it's just me and him. And we didn't really know. We hadn't been there before. We were nervous. And so you know what we did? We caved. We ordered straight off the menu. Like, if I couldn't read it, I wasn't ordering it. You know what I'm saying? And it was good. Don't get me wrong. It was good. I was a big fan. But then we went on and went about our work, and as we were interacting with people who actually lived there, people who ate an In-N-Out Burger on the regular. So a couple people who had even worked at In-N-Out Burger before. We started talking to them about the secret menu, and they were like, oh, yeah. Have you had it yet? And then we started telling them the story how, no, we got up there and we got scared. And they said, no, let me take you. I'll order it for you. You need to order it this way. It will change your life. You thought In-N-Out was good. You ain't had In-N-Out until you get it off the secret menu. So we were only there for a couple days, but let me go ahead and tell you, we went back to In-N-Out. And we rolled up this time with the confidence of hearing from people who were close, people who knew. And we actually went in the car with somebody who had ordered this way many, many times. They were very familiar with the secret menu. And so they roll up there, and when they said, can I take your order, they began to order. And they began to order things in styles and ways that are not listed on the menu. And the person on the other side said, oh, okay, I see. I'm picking up what you're putting down. I can handle this. And they got us this burger, and they got us this fries, and it was similar but yet completely different from what we had had before. And can I tell you, it was unbelievable. But it was secret. Unless you knew unless you were close enough to know, you would never experience the wonder of the secret menu. Maybe it's not the best correlation, but maybe it is. There is a secret place with God that only those who are close to him know about. And the psalmist writing the 91st Psalm knew about a place in God that the average person who would know God, call on God, walk with God, don't know. But they're trying to tell you, they're trying to tell me, they're trying to encourage us. If you would just come close, you would find protection and covering and strength and blessing in God that is possible, but it's only possible if you'll come close. It's possible to live by faith with chaos all around you. It's found in the secret place. It's possible to trust God, even though there ain't no news except bad news coming in your life. It's possible. It's possible to have hope when everyone around you seems, feels, lives hopeless. It's possible. But you have to come close. You see, when God, write this down, is the one who stands for you, it doesn't matter what stands against you. When you get close to God, what you begin to learn is that it doesn't matter who stands up against me, because I know he's the one who stands for me. I have found the secret place. It's up under the shelter of the Most High. I have found rest even though everybody around me is exhausted. I have found strength even though everybody else around me too tired to keep going. I have found comfort. I have found protection. I have found blessing. It is possible if you'll come close. How do you get close to God like this? I'll tell you very simply. You trust him. You trust him. Because trust is what brings you close to anybody. But also, it's the breaking of trust that always creates distance. Think about any relationship you've ever had or are in right now. The reason you're close to some people, the reason you're real close to some people and not as close to other people, is because some people you trust with anything. I got people in my life, I would trust them with absolutely anything. What you need? Like, here, take my credit card. Take the keys to my house. Take the keys to my car. I trust you. I trust that you're not going to do something to hurt me, to take from me. I will trust you with whatever. And then there are some other people who I might like you, but I'm going to keep my good eye on you. No, you can't have the key to nothing. And no, you can't have the access. No, and I need to know when you come and I need to know when you leave, because I don't trust you like that. There's a place in our heart that gets really, really hurt when maybe in a season of our life we trusted someone. We let them get close to us. We trusted them with our dreams. We trusted them with our pain. We trusted them with our resources. We trusted them with our, we trusted them with whatever. And then we watched them use and abuse that thing. It's difficult to trust there. But the only way you'll ever get close to anybody is to trust them. To trust them enough to share with them, to trust them enough to be open to them, to trust them enough to give them access to what you don't typically give access to trust them. Can I tell you, if you don't feel close to God today, if you don't feel like you are up under the shelter of the Most High, can I ask you to ask yourself, where is it that you don't trust God? See, the reason you're not close to him is because there's a place that you don't trust him. But if you never trust him there, you'd find yourself close to him there. What is it that you don't trust God with? Is there something in your life, something that you have, something that he has given to you that you're like, you know what, God, I'm going to manage this in my way. I'm going to steward that. I'm going to use this and leverage this with my own intellect, my own thinking. I don't care what you have to say. That's why you're not close. We become close to God as we trust God. We trust God with our future. We trust him with our family. We trust him with relationships. We trust him with our dreams. We trust him with our money. We trust him with our energy. We trust him with whatever it is he's put in our hand. As we trust him with whatever it is, we get closer. And we find that rest. It really is a blessing. See, when you come closer, you begin to realize that blessing is possible. But you also begin to realize, as the psalmist told us, write this down, that fear is optional. Fear is optional. Why is it that people of faith are so afraid? Why is it that people that would profess faith in Jesus, profess God to be the source and the head of their life, why is it that they are so afraid? You know that you don't have to be afraid, right? Now, I say this at a very important time for many people, because many of you are gonna get drunk off the sauce that is slung for the next 4.5 to 5 months, known as the political jargon and climate that we are in as we look towards a presidential election here in November of this year. And what you are going to be served every time you pull up to the bar of these debates, or pull up to the bar that is these conversations, or pull up to the bar that is somebody trying to tell you their perspective, or some commercial, or some documentary, or some talking head trying to explain what is going on. What you're going to hear over and over and over again from both sides is, if they win, then you're gonna lose this, that, and the other. And the other side is going to tell you, well, if they win, you're going to lose this, that, and the other. It's interesting. We don't communicate with vision. Our political space doesn't communicate with perspective or with hope. We communicate with fear. Why? Because fear motivates. Fear causes us to move and to be loud and to get active because I'm scared. God's people should not live in fear. There is no problem, there is no attack that comes at any time from any direction that should cause fear to rule and reign in the heart of the child of God. Because to fear, hear me, is to demonstrate trust in that more than you demonstrate trust in God. The only reason I fear is because I trust that's power more than I trust the thing that I thought was powerful. I trust that's ability more than I trust the ability of this. The reason I am afraid is because I trust what they're telling me more than I trust what God is telling me. Some of you are like, "Wow, it's the world we live in, and it's the way." Listen, I know, but hear me, because this is probably you. This is way more people than would want to give credence or credit to this reality, that it's entirely possible to love Jesus and not trust Jesus. And that's why you're afraid. Because you really love Jesus. You just don't trust him like that. You trust the politician that you can see, or you trust the boss that you report to. You trust the person in your life who has given you some advice, and you see them and you know them and you trust them. You trust their opinion more than you trust him. It's entirely possible to love Jesus and not trust Jesus. And that's why you're afraid. You need to understand today, as you come closer to God, fear is optional, because God's people, please understand, they are fearful through their trust. God's people are fearful through their trust. The reason people will say they follow Jesus, but act and speak and live fear-ridden about their relationships and about an election and about their finances and about a diagnosis and whatever else, is they're showing what they trust in. They're showing that they trust a bank statement more than they trust what God says about his ability to provide for them. They are showing that they trust the results of an election more than they do the one who sits on the throne now and forevermore. They are showing that they trust what a doctor might see or a doctor might say based off of a scan that they ran more than they trust the one who is our great physician and healer. Not saying you don't listen, not saying you don't come aware, but who do you give more weight to? Because ultimately, whoever you give more weight to gets to determine whether or not you live with fear or not. Because God's people are fearful through their trust. And God's people, write it down, are fearless through their trust. The psalmist gives all these metaphoric examples. Maybe you read it in the 91st Psalm. It's a beautiful picture. Maybe you heard it as I read it at the beginning of our time together. But he talks about stuff happening in the day and stuff happening in the night. The child of God does not have to fear. He talks about plagues and problems and pestilences, and they are nothing to fear for the one who trusts in God. See, you don't have to be afraid, but you'll always be afraid until you trust God there. Fear is optional if you'll come close. You won't hear that or see that if you just walk through this life, though. You'll be told you have to be afraid, because what if the worst happens? You don't have to fear the storms by day or the thief that comes at night. You don't have to fear, the psalmist would say, because you get close and you find shelter in the Most High. When you come close, you'll find that blessing is possible. When you come close, you'll find that fear is optional. When you come close, you're going to find that protection is conditional. Protection is conditional. People love to pray for God's protection, don't they? Oh man, people sound real spiritual when you're going on a trip. Talk about, we better pray for some traveling mercies. And so they be calling on shrubbery, asking shrubbery to protect them. Lord, give us a hedge of protection. I don't know about you, but I need more than a bush driving on these streets. I need some protection, like out here. They will do something real questionable and be asking God for protection. Talk about, I'm about to skydive because this sounds fun. Lord, would you protect me? Love to ask God for protection. Sometimes I think God's like, what are you doing? Why are you jumping out of planes? First of all, like you want me to protect you and you out here jumping out of a plane. You better hope that parachute worked. That's all I'm saying. We be asking for protection over the food we eat, knowing we just ran through McDonald's, got us 2 quarter pounders and a large fry. Talk about, Lord, bless this to the nourishment of our bodies. Protect me from it. Protection is conditional. It doesn't always happen, protection. Because protection is conditional. What do you mean, preacher? I mean this. Would you write it down? God's people are protected through their placement, not their petition. The people of God, you, me, we are protected not through our petition, not through we asked God for it, but through the place we put ourselves. The psalmist said this in Psalm 91, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. Because you said the place that I'm taking up residence, the place of my address, is under the shelter of the Most High. Because you have made him your dwelling place, now protection is yours. But some of y'all be out here, out in these streets, so far from God, so far from the protection available in the shadow of his wings, asking him to protect you in that place because of your petition. And he's like, if you would get in the right place, you would find yourself protected no matter what? See, many people want protection from God without placement in God. But protection from God comes through trusting in God, getting close to him. Because when you get close to him, what you begin to do is you begin to do what he said. You know, that's part of why I read his word. Because I hide his word in my heart so that I will not sin against him, and it protects me. His word in my heart protects me. That's part of why I serve. Because when I give my my energy and I give my best to him and his purposes and his house, I know that he blesses everything my hand does. You know, that's part of why I give. Because when I return to God, the first and the best, you know what I believe? You know what I see? You know what I know? Is that his blessing, his protection is on all that he's entrusted to me. Not just what I return to him, but all that he's entrusted to me. And I want God's blessing. I want his protection on every resource he would bring into my hand. So I'm going to give because I want his protection. See, when I trust God enough to do what he has said with anything in my life, he protects that thing in my life. But you got to get close to even know what he wants. You got to get close so that you'll have the faith to do what he says. Come close. Come close today. That's his call to you, to come close. Because when you come close, you find that blessing is possible. And when you come close, you discover that fear in your life is optional. When you come close, you'll find that protection is conditional, not based on the conditions around you, but the position you place yourself in. And when you come close, you will find this, that trusting, write it down, is rewarding. There is reward to those and for those that will trust in God. It's verse 14 of Psalm 91 that we read. And one translation puts it this way. It says, because he is lovingly devoted to me, then I will. It's verse 14 where the 91st Psalm flips. See, the first 13 verses have been the psalmist crying out to people on behalf of his experience with God. He that dwells in the secret place, I know because I've dwelt there under the shadow of the Almighty, will find rest under his wings. I'll say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my portion, the God in whom I trust. He's going to deliver me when attacks come at night. He's going to deliver me when the attack comes in the day. There will be no plague. There will be no pestilence that will be able to overtake those who find themselves in him. That's the first 13 verses. Then in the 14th verse, it turns. And the heart of God, the truth of God, the wisdom of God begins to speak through the psalmist. And it's like God is saying, because that person, because you are devoted to me, because you trust in me, let me tell you what I'm going to do for you. See, there is reward from God available to anyone who trusts in him. He's making a promise, God is, in the 91st Psalm, to anyone and everyone that trusts in him completely, to anyone and everyone who lives lovingly devoted to him. And today, as I end, I want to end with five rewards that God promises to those who trust in him. There are five rewards that God says through the mouth of the writer in the 91st Psalm. These are rewards that you can bank on. I am making a promise to you. If you'll come close to me, God says this, write this down. Number one, God says, I will deliver you. You know that trusting God is the key that unlocks the door of rescue for you. The first promise God makes is to deliver because of our love and trust in God there. He says, I'll deliver you. I will set you free. My people, people close to me, oh, they find rest. They find protection because they are no longer bound. If you would find yourself today bound up in any area of your life, maybe the reason you're bound up in that area of your life is because you don't trust God in that area of your life. It's not that you can't, it's that you won't trust him with it. But if you'd ever come close enough, if you'd ever begin to trust him, if you'd ever begin to really rely on him, you would see his deliverance. But the reason you haven't seen him deliver you there isn't because he can't deliver you there. It's because you won't come close there. He promises you, if you will come close to me, I will deliver you. The second promise he makes is this. He says, I will protect you. There is protection in God for those who trust in God. He says, I'll be with you. I will guide you. Wherever you go, I will accompany you. But you have to trust him. The problem is many of us trust the thing or the person that we can see more than we trust the God that we can't see. That's why we find ourselves without the protection of God. And so we live very fearful every day of our lives. Fearful what's going on around us. Fearful about what's happening in us. The reason you're afraid, quite honestly, is because you're not close to him. If you get close to him, you would find protection in him. And you wouldn't worry like everybody else worries. You wouldn't stress and fret like everybody else stresses and frets. Because you have found protection in him. God makes a promise to those who come close to him. I will deliver you. And I will protect you. And then he says, I will answer you. Oh, you get into about the 15th verse of the 91st Psalm. And he actually repeats himself. I will answer you. If I can say it another way, the one who trusts in God gets clarity from God. Maybe the reason you don't know what God wants you to do or how God wants you to handle this is because you're not close to him. The reason there's so much indecision in your life about what your next step is, about what you're supposed to do, about how you're supposed to handle this, is because regardless of what you say, and regardless of what you type, and regardless of what you try to present with what you post, the truth is you are not near as close to God as you give off. And that is why there is turmoil and indecision on the inside of you. My scripture says the steps of righteous people are ordered by the Lord. If you ask him, he'll answer you. The problem is you have popular opinion in your mind so loud that the word of God has to combat what your friends tell you and combat what society might tell you and combat what other people who kind of think like you do might say if you actually did what God said to do. It combats it. God says, I will answer you. I will give you the clarity. I will give you the answer. I will give you the wisdom, the advice you need. If you come close, I'll answer you. There'll be no confusion over what you're supposed to do. The problem is we allow too many voices to have a seat at the table, and we give them the same volume as we do the voice of God. So I allow my parents, who don't even know God, to speak just as loudly as the voice of God. I allow friends in my life. I allow coworkers and neighbors and people in the city and people I don't know, but they got a big following on Twitter. I allow them to speak just as loudly as the voice of God. And that's why you're confused. You ain't close. If you would get close, it would get clear. See, if you would get close, he'll deliver you. And if you would get close, he'll protect you. And if you would get close, he'll answer you. And if you get close, God says, I will promote you. Oh, some people don't like this language because it sounds too blessed. This is what the scripture says. God says, word for word in the translation that we read, I will honor you. Not you will honor God. It's because you're close. It's because you love him. It's because you trust him. It's because you have honored him. He says, I will honor you. Can I tell you about a promotion no man can put down? Let God honor you. Stop spending your life trying to win the approval of people. Win the heart of God, and he will promote you in the eyes of men. And nobody can tear you down. And nobody can despise what God has done in you and through you. Because the one that God lifts up, God says, I'll promote you. You get close to me, I will honor you as you trust me. And then he says this, number 5, would you write this down? God says, I will save you. God says, the person who gets close to me, who trusts fully in me, will see my salvation. Is that eternally? Yeah, partially. But can I tell you, as somebody who's followed God for a minute, I see his salvation day to day and week to week. Sometimes I just stop and thank God for the places I didn't go. I stop and thank God for the people I didn't trust. I stop and thank God for the protection because of what could have happened, but it didn't happen, because I know that He is watching out for me. I've seen God do it over and over and over again. And some of you, the reason you don't see it is because you're not close. You just thought it was coincidence. You thought you were lucky. Or you experienced the tragedy and experienced the turmoil, and you wonder where God was. And God was like, well, I tried to tell you, but you wouldn't listen. So that's why you didn't see my salvation. The 91st Psalm has one clear call: come close to Him. And friend, today as we end our time together, and I just want to pray for you, would you be honest enough, maybe as the Spirit of God is even speaking to your heart right now, to recognize those places, those areas, those things in your life that you realize keep distance between you and God? Could you make your prayer today the prayer of maybe that old song that 1998, Fred Hammond penned? Is very simple. Just to be close to you. Maybe this week as you're driving in the car, this week as you're working, this week as you're interacting with people, could that be the prayer that comes out of your heart? Just to be close to you. God, I want to know your will. I want to know your way. I want to know how I'm supposed to handle this situation. God, I don't know what to do with these kids. God, I'm in this relationship, and I don't know if it honors you, but I want to be close to you. Would you help me to know how to navigate this? I want to be close to you. Would you make your greatest desire not to be seen as something great in the eyes of people, not to be seen as someone who is shrewd or successful in the eyes of other people, but someone who says, I want to be close to God. God, help me to trust you in those areas and with those things that I do not trust you with right now. Give me the faith to take the step just to be close to you. Father, I love you and I thank you today for your word. I pray that the testimony of the psalmist will become the testimony of many today. That we would be able to declare to others the reality that we see in our own life, the blessing, the protection, the rest that we find up under your wings. But Father, I pray today for my friends who don't have the faith to come close to you right now. Give them that faith right now. Fill them with confidence to come close to you, to lean on you, to trust in you, maybe like they never have before. And as they do, I pray that they would see your protection, they would see your grace, they would see your salvation again and again. We love you. We pray all this, Jesus, in your powerful name. And everybody said, amen.